And we've got youth camp that's happening. It's going to be for 7th through 12th. Hopefully Southland's going to do at least do the camps this year. Some of them, they don't have as many. They're not offering as many as they were last couple years ago, I guess. But trying to get back in the swing of things. And so we're signing up for that, or got everybody signed up for that so far. Then VBS, that's a little bit later, June. Teen camp's going to be in June as well. But to just be thinking about those things. So, all right, this evening, we've got try to switch gears here a little bit. I don't know. I'm sure y'all feel the same way sometimes. But going through books of the Bible, and I'm looking at Sunday's messages, and it is like, it's very, it's like, is there anything positive that we can look at? And so, we're just going through books of the Bible, so it's not like we're trying to, preach anything specific. She wants something positive. Yeah, I'm with you. So tonight, with that said, it really is true. You go through the Bible, and what Paul said, he said, the scriptures hath concluded that all under sin. And I mean, you really get that going through the Bible. It's just like, man, does God have anything good to say about people at all? And the reality is, he has a lot good to say about Jesus Christ, but as far as people go, not so much. However, this evening, I want to encourage you, hopefully be an encouragement to you. I want to talk to you about incomparable glory. And we're going to start in Romans 8, and I'm going to bounce around a little bit, but I just want you to think about what it is you're looking forward to. If you're saved, what it is you're looking forward to. This world offers a certain glory. It's just temporary. It's filled with fighting and discontent. It's mingled with pain and fear. And there's a certain glory to it, but it comes with all these associated costs, and ultimately the cost of a soul. I mean, when Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil, the Bible says the devil took him up to a great mountain and showed him all the glory of the kingdoms. I mean, it's like one commercial, you know. He just showed him all the great happenings, all the partying, all the, you know, the what the world thinks is glory. And so he was shown all those things. And what you're not shown is all of the baggage that comes with. And you're not shown that the glory of the world is vanity, ultimately. I know some of y'all looking at Ecclesiastes, Megan. But yeah, I mean, it's vanity, and it ultimately is it expires. It's filled with trouble and sorrow and things like that. And I say all that to say, but there's, when God offers glory, it's not mingled with any of these things, with fear or trouble or any of these things. And so I just want to show you a few verses this evening, and I want to be an encouragement to you. Honestly, it's kind of selfish. I want to be encouraged a little bit, so I'm like, so Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, the subject or the theme tonight is incomparable glory, and we get it from this verse here, Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. The Bible says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's like all of creation has been subject to sin and sorrow and pain and death. And they're just waiting for that time when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and he makes manifest what the children of God are. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity. That's what we just said. Not willingly, but by reason of him who is subjected the same in hope. But because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So you've got verse 18 is where we kind of get this thought, the incomparable glory. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let's pray, and let's get some exciting news tonight. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. Look at these verses that are just wonderful verses and encouraging verses and helpful and something that we have to look forward to. And I do pray everybody in here is saved. I don't know their condition of their souls. And those that are watching, I pray if they're not saved, they'd get saved. Trust Jesus Christ, because all of this glory that we're going to talk about is only available in Jesus Christ. And so I pray that you'd minister to our hearts this evening, feed your flock, and help us understand and set our affections on things above this evening. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Romans 8:18. I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This is written by a man in prison. This is written by a man that was beaten, that took his faith and took Jesus Christ seriously to the point that it affected his entire life. He gave up his living, he gave up his body, he gave up his friendships, he gave up everything to serve Jesus Christ. And he said this, I reckon that what I've suffered couldn't even be compared to the glory that awaits me. I couldn't even, it's not even on the same scale, it's not even worth, in fact, when I look at the glory that's ahead of me, I couldn't even make mention of the suffering, because it's just not even worth talking about. And so this future glory, it awaits the children of God. And if you're not a child of God, the way you become a child of God is by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the simple answer to that. You trust Jesus Christ and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that his death, his burial, his resurrection for your sins, and you trust the righteousness of God, and you trust in the eternal life in Jesus Christ, and you are a partaker then of eternal life. And so the Bible says in Galatians, we are all children of God by faith, not by first birth. You know, you weren't born into the family, you're children of God by faith. That's how you become a child of God. So if you're in that category, this glory awaits you. If you're not in that category, I hope you get in that category. I hope you trust Jesus Christ, because if you're trusting the world offers a type of glory, but like we said earlier, it comes with fear, it comes with thieves and moth and rust and all those things that corrupt and break down, and you know you'll be doing maintenance on the thing you loved a month ago in a month. And so I mean it just comes with trouble. But God's blessings and God's glory doesn't come with trouble like that. So that thought, let's take some verses and carry on with this thought about the incomparable glory of God. Look in Isaiah chapter 11. We looked at this, I don't know, a couple Sunday nights ago. But Isaiah chapter 11, incomparable glory, incomparable nature, the new nature of things. When Jesus Christ is ruling, things have a new nature. This is just incredible. Isaiah chapter 11, verse We'll start in verse 1 so you understand what you're looking at here. You're talking about Jesus Christ, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. This is Jesus Christ. And that's all bad, but watch this. When he's ruling, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins, here's the new nature. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Wow. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? And the cow, verse 7, and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Wow. So the nature of things, the nature of people, we just look at the nature of creation changes. You've got animals that were at odds fighting each other. When Jesus Christ returns, who is the creator of all things, it says the wolf will lay down with the lamb, the leopard will lay down with the kid, the calf will lay down with the lion, a little child shall lead them. I mean, you're talking about kids with leashes on I don't know, lions and tigers and bears. You know, they're just training them, and they're walking them around, and mama's okay with the kids outside playing with the snakes, and it's no big deal. And it's just the nature of creation completely changes. It's an incomprehensible new nature. I mean, we are so accustomed to, at this point, we've lived all our lives under a curse. And we are so accustomed, we think living under a curse is normal, it's just reality, it's just the way things are going to have to be. And the reality is, no, living under a curse is a perverted way of life that God never really intended. This is what he intended. This is the life he intended. A glory that is incomprehensible, it is incomparable. The new nature, when Jesus Christ is ruling, you've got these children that are playing with, all kinds of things. You got a bear laying down with a little calf, and a wolf and a lamb laying down, and a leopard with a little goat laying down, or a little lamb laying down. I mean, it's so foreign to our thinking. But what a tremendous time. What a tremendous time that'll be. When there is no hostility. There's no hostility in nature. There's no dog eat dog. There's no, and it makes all the sense in the world when you go back to Romans 8, when Paul says, I reckon that the present sufferings can't be compared to the future glory. And then he says this, and he says, all creation, it groans. It's just waiting for this time. Just waiting for Jesus Christ to rule so it can have peace. So there won't be any fighting. There won't be any more bloodshed. It's just the new nature of things will come out. The right nature. Here's another one. You're in Isaiah. Look in Isaiah chapter 65. Here's another blessing that comes along with Jesus Christ ruling and reigning. And this is after... It's in the future, but it's the future glory here. Isaiah 66 or 65, verse 17. Here's the future glory. For behold, Isaiah 65, 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. That is no regrets. You will be so consumed. If you're saved, you'll be so consumed with the glory of God, so consumed with praising God, so consumed with enjoying eternal life, there won't be any thoughts of, you know, back when, in 2020 or whatever, you know, however we deal with years or whatever, you know, I remember that we had all these problems and, you know, all those bad stuff. You won't even think about that stuff. That is no memories of it, no regrets about it, none of those things. What a blessing of future glory. What a blessing that is. Here's another one. I love this. Revelation chapter 21. This is way in the future, but this is future glory here. Jesus Christ has ruled and reigned, and now you've got New Jerusalem and God coming down, and God the Father. You got all this stuff happening. You got the city of God, which is New Jerusalem. Look at this description, Revelation chapter 21. Oh, we're going to skip ahead to verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes, the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, on the west, 3 gates. Now listen to this description of the city. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So 12,000 furlong. A furlong is an eighth of a mile. If you're into horse racing or anything, you might know that, but that's what that is. Anyway, a furlong is like an eighth of a mile. So this city, this is what we refer to when we talk about heaven. This is the city. This is the place. And it's called New Jerusalem. This city, the city of God, is 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles long, wide, length, wide, and then tall, 1,500 miles tall. This thing is huge. It is huge. When Jesus Christ said to the disciples, in my Father's house are many mansions. You can fit a lot of mansions in a city that big. A lot of mansions. This thing is 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles tall. Just for reference, and Chris can probably help me out on this. I think commercial flights, what do they fly, like 6 miles in the air, like 30,000 feet or something like that? After the delay. something like 5 or 6 miles high above the earth. You're talking about something that is 1,500 miles high. You can't even imagine a place like this. And its streets are all gold. You'll read that. Streets gold. The pearly gates, you hear the jokes about, you know, Peter standing at the pearly gates. This is where you read about the pearly gates. And the gates are made of pearl. So I think the biggest pearl that was ever discovered, at least when I researched it a while back, the biggest pearl in the world was like 9.5 inches long or something like that in diameter, but it was all kind of oblong, so it's like this. You're talking about a pearl that's 30 or 40 feet tall. This place is incredible. Let's keep reading. Verse 17, and he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. 144 cubits, that's, I don't know, 250 something feet tall. That's the wall. Verse 18, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Good grief. This place is not like rock and concrete. This is jewels. These are valuable things. And that's the foundation. That's the building blocks of this city. Verse 19, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. That's what they were. They're 12 pearls. Wow. Every several gate, that's the separate gate, several gate was of one pearl, so 12 gates that are 12 pearls. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Incredible. This place is incredible. You've got in heaven a city like this. You've got Jesus Christ on earth reigning, and he has remade creation so that animals love each other and they play together and children play with what were formerly hostile animals and just predators and prey and things like that. And so when Paul says what he said in Romans 8, he says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. This is all the description of what creation is waiting on. This is, if you're saved, this is what you're waiting on. These are the things you're waiting on. And you know, if you're told to set your affection on things above, you ought to know kind of what's above, so you can be affected by it. And like Jesus Christ said, he says in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. I did the math one time. I don't know, tried to do some kind of math with it. If this city is 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles, you could literally have billions of mansions in this place. Billions of mansions that are football fields in square footage. I mean, it's just incredible how much space this is. But in all of this, you know, the world offers property. It offers gold. It offers valuable things like this. Nothing like this, but the world tries to offer, you know, dollars and things like that and money and, you know, we can buy things and all that kind of stuff. The problem with the world's glory is it's subject to thievery. It's subject to taxes. It's subject to, you know, if you don't have a mind to enjoy it, you won't be able to enjoy it. And even if you do have a mind to enjoy it, you're only going to enjoy it for a while. So all of these things, this is eternal glory. And then the best part of all this property that you just read about, all these things in nature. We haven't even looked at this, but and we won't look at it tonight, but you will have a new body, no sin, not subject to death. I mean, just this mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And I mean, you have a glorified body that is not under the burden of sin. And then look in Revelation chapter 21, before he describes this city. Look at this. This is wonderful. Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God," watch this, "and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Wow. You know, that description, the description of the physical, the real estate of heaven, is more than impressive. But if there's hospitals there, you know, you can walk on streets of gold till you die. Then what was the street of gold, you know? You could enjoy the precious stones and the pearly gates until you get cancer, and then how interesting are the pearly gates with cancer? But before he describes all of the physical real estate into Jerusalem, he says, let me tell you what's not going to be there. No more tears. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. For the former things are passed away. If you're saved, this is what you're looking forward to. These things that are taken away, and the most blessed part of the whole thing, and the reason these things are taken away, and the reason you have this glorious city, is because of Jesus Christ. You'll be there. And when we sing the songs, "When We See Christ," what a day that will be. That's I want to encourage you tonight. I hope you can be encouraged by this. This is what you're looking forward to. Incomparable glory. Something that Paul said, you know, when I think about what I've suffered for Jesus Christ, and then I think about the future that I'm headed to, Paul says, you know what, it's really not even worth talking about the sufferings. There's not really anything to complain about. There's not really anything to, I couldn't say, you know, well, I'll weigh them out, and this one's a little bit more. It's like they're not even on the same scale. This suffering now is so petty compared to where I'm going. It's so minute. And so with that, I mean, there literally are more verses in the Bible that are good verses that we could look at, but. That's what we'll look at tonight. But I want to be an encouragement to you. If you are if you're saved. If you're not saved, trust Jesus Christ, because all of this glory is in Jesus Christ. That's the only place it is. And outside of Jesus Christ, there's no life. But in Jesus Christ is all of this. And that would mean your suffering is just temporary. The trouble here is just temporary. It's just something that really, in the scope of things, isn't really even worth talking about compared to the glory. It's just not even worth talking about. So I hope that's encouraging to you. It's encouraging to me. And I want to do something of some encouragement tonight, so we don't I feel like we've just been doing a lot of tough stuff. So be encouraged with this incomparable glory. This is what we're looking forward to. So if you're saved, you're a Christian, this is what you got to look forward to. So here's what Paul says. He says, set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. I mean, if you want to know what's above, this is what you're looking forward to. This is what you're looking forward to. Father, I pray it's been a help. I pray this is encouraging. It is humbling. It just really puts things in perspective, and really just feel very small trying to talk about it. And I pray, though, it's been an encouragement. Pray it's been helpful. This world has its own glory that it offers people, but it comes tainted with so many things. But your glory doesn't have any of that. And so I pray we'd be encouraged this evening and helped. And Lord, help us to serve you better. And just realize that the time we serve you is so, so small compared to where we're headed if we're saved. And I do pray if anybody's watching or in here listening that's not saved, I pray they'd get saved. They'd trust Jesus Christ and get their sins taken care of and stop chasing the glory of this world. What a worthless pursuit. What a worthless pursuit it is. I pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.